96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. Your questions or comments, toll free at 855-288-4876. Now, Insight.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. Do you consider yourself a nice girl? Have you always been kind to everyone? Or perhaps you may have said, even half jokingly, you don't want to meet my alter ego. You would not like her. Well, we're talking about that issue for women and how they should stand up for themselves. My guests are Keena Dorr. She is author of the book, Be That Bitch, Nice Girls Finish Last, and Howard University Assistant Professor of Philosophy, Dr. Yolanda Wilson. Your lines are open. Dr. Wilson, you're already ready, aren't you? She is already ready. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Of course, you can always tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Dr. Wilson, always good to see you. And Keena Dorr, thanks for coming in. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Do nice girls finish last?
Absolutely.
Why do you say that?
And I was very stubborn about it. I was like, I'm going to be a nice girl forever. I'm going to prove that they don't finish last. And then I had to accept the fact that they do.
When did you come to this realization, your aha moment?
It was after I realized that whenever I had a moment where I was the B word, I was met with success. And by success, I mean that things actually started going my way. I wasn't a victim anymore of people and circumstances and of life. And so I was like, you know what? I need to see this pattern. And wait a minute, I need to be that. And I started to live from that standpoint. And my life opened up tremendously. It was like prosperity just started following me everywhere.
Give me an example of when you were the so-called B word.
Okay, well, I started off when I was bullied, and primarily in middle school. I stood up for myself finally after a long time of enduring slurs that I was the B word, and they would spit into paper balls and throw them at me, and I would just take it. I would sit there. I would say absolutely nothing. And then one day I was just like, I can't take this anymore. I'm willing to die. I don't care what it takes for me not to take this abuse anymore. And I stood up and I was just like, you know, I said, you know, you can't do this to me anymore. So why don't you just hit me? Do your worst to me. And it was in that moment that I was first introduced to the concept.
Dr. Wilson, is it appropriate for women, or as Keena just said, even girls, to be considered a B word when, in her last example, she was just standing up for herself, defending herself against the evil forces of bullying?
Of course not, Harold. But of course, we know that that's exactly how sexism and misogyny work, that when girls, in Keena's initial example, and women assert themselves, assert their boundaries, assert their power, then we get called bitches. And it's intended to hurt. And so one thing that I appreciate about this particular book is an attempt to reclaim that word and take the sting out of it.
Explain that.
So I'm not sure if we're supposed to be saying B word. I'll say B word.
We'll say B word when I can remember.
See, she's just ready to fire off.
That's what she does. That's why she's here. Go right ahead, Dr. Wilson.
But so that's a word that's historically steeped in a kind of diminishing of women, in a hatred of women. And, you know, people have, of course, different views about whether it actually works to reclaim the term, right? Whether this word will always be hateful and should be out of bounds and will always be used negatively. But, or if there is a such thing as taking a sting out of the word and reclaiming it for yourself. One thing that I appreciate about this particular book is that regardless of how you feel about the word, right, you can appreciate the concepts that Kena wants us to grasp in terms of standing in your own power and owning that for yourself.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Tonight we're talking about women standing up for themselves, empowering themselves, and the B word. What do you think? Give us a call. Lines are open. So outside, Kena, of this childhood experience as an adult, as a professional, educated woman, give me an example of how you stood up for yourself, became more assertive, that B woman, where it worked for you.
Well, I was in a position where I had a friendship, and the girl had two guys come over, and she told me that I needed to have intercourse with the guy that I did not know.
Mm-hmm.
And I let her know that's not happening. You know, I don't feel comfortable doing that. And she called me the B word for that. She told all of the people that we knew that I was the B word, that I was this horrible person. And it was because I stuck up for my standards.
You made a choice not to do that.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, it was a sense of success in the fact that I used to be so scared of, you know, dealing with somebody's reaction, that I would just be subjected to any kind of treatment, which was really a dangerous way of living, because it was like I was putting a target on my back to be victimized by people. And I really went through a lot, including, you know, being raped and things like that. And it was because I wasn't standing up for myself. I had no voice for myself. And people, when you give them an inch, they will go a mile. It doesn't start and stop with that just one bad incident with you. It continues on and on. So really nipping it in the bud is success to me.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are talking about the B word and women empowering themselves, being assertive, and why they are seen as bees when they simply stand up for themselves. Let me go to Daphne. Daphne, calling from Virginia. Hey, Daphne, what's on your mind?
Hello, how are you?
I'm doing just fine.
I spent 30 years in the military.
And turn your radio down for us, but go right ahead, please.
Okay, I'm sorry. Give me a minute. I'm on my balcony. I have to walk to it.
Okay, go ahead. Yeah, you can ask your question.
Okay.
I'm doing just fine.
I spent 30 years in the military.
And turn your
Okay, can you hear me now?
Go right ahead.
Okay, I spent 30 years in the military, and I was in a position of authority for most of those years. What I had to accept was that every minority or, okay, every person there was hated to work for a black woman in authority. Black women, black men, white women, white men. That's just a reality, okay? So what black women in authority have to realize is that titles don't matter. You do your job, and you're fair, and you're equitable, and you're consistent.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And you can't let other people's reaction to you dictate your actions, because that's what comes back to haunt you.
You know, that's an interesting point. Your thoughts about that, Dr. Wilson, and thank you, Daphne, for sharing with us. Go right ahead, Dr. Wilson.
So one thing I see in Daphne's call and also in Kena's story that she gave us right before you took this call is that being called a bitch is a moving goalpost, right? I think in Kena's story, no matter what she had done, right, if she had actually gone ahead and had sex with those two men, she still would have been called that. Mm-hmm. Right. But the fact that she stood up for her own boundaries and morals resulted in her being called that. And in Daphne's case, right, being competent and doing the thing that she was hired to do, which is be in charge of some folks, resulted in her being called that name. And so there's no sense of, you know, if you avoid behaviors A, B, C, and D, people won't call you that, right? I mean, the point of the language is to disempower. And so I think Daphne is right, and I think this is the upshot of Kena's book even, that part of what you have to do is make the decisions that are going to make you happiest, that are going to make you feel that you're empowered and that are going to help you achieve the goals that you set for yourself.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. How do you feel about the B word as it relates to labeling women who are assertive, who are in control of their own lives, their own destinies, that stand up for themselves? How do you feel about that? Give us a call. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. And here's my thing, Keen, it's 2018. Shouldn't men just get used to the fact that where they work or where they interact, they could at any given time encounter a woman who will stand up for herself, whether it's on the job, in social settings, where they may be told, no, I don't want you to buy me a drink. I'm fine, and not be name callers and labelers.
Well, I think that in a perfect world that would be the case, but we're not living in a perfect world. So whenever somebody sees that they're not getting their way, it's aggravating to them. So that place of aggravation, it really comes from that. So, you know, I see it now as a compliment. I'm like, oh, I must be doing something right. Like, I'm actually doing something good, you know, so I no longer see it as this negative thing.
Interesting. Very interesting. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are talking about women standing up for themselves and why some people label them the B word. My guests are Kena Dorr, author of the book Be That B, Nice Girls Finish Last, and of course, Howard University Assistant Professor of Philosophy, Dr. Yolanda Wilson. We are going to continue to take phone calls after 7:30, as always, and as always, information about the book and my guests will be on WHUR.com around 8:30 or so. But hang on, this conversation will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Angela Stribling is in for Jeff Brown, and she's next with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. Coming up, Sid, Chico, Jasmine. We're talking to all of you in just a bit. Stay with us. We'll be back in a moment.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR 96.3 FM, WHUR World 96.3 HD2, student-run WHBC HD3, GlassHouseRadio.com, Sirius XM Channel 142, HBCU and Sirius XM Channel 141, HUR Voices, Washington.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Tonight we're talking about women standing up for themselves, being assertive, asking for what they want or saying what they don't want. My guests are Kena Dorr, author of the book Be That Bitch, Nice Girls Finish Last, and Howard University Assistant Professor of Philosophy, Dr. Yolanda Wilson. Lines are open. Give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Let's talk to Sid. Sid, calling from Virginia, what's on your mind?
Thank you.
Sure. Go right ahead. Did we lose Sid? Okay. Give us a call back if you can. Jasmine, calling from Virginia, thanks for calling. What's on your mind? Jasmine, go right ahead. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Go right ahead.
I just want to totally agree that nice girls finish last, especially when it comes to relationships, being someone. I've been engaged twice in my life. I'm 26, kind of young. I'm in the military, but I've been engaged twice. And in each of those relationships, I was cheated on, totally treated bad for no reason at all. You know, being the best partner that I can be to that person, and every response was, you were a good woman, I was just a dirtbag, you know, so on and so forth. So I totally agree that nice girls finish last. No one can change my mind on that fact, because if you're not the girl that's, you know, putting out and doing this or doing those things that you don't agree with, if you have morals and you have standards, then waiting for your happiness is going to take a lifetime. At least that's what it feels like.
Okay. Interesting. Thank you so much. What do you think?
I think that I'm very happy to hear that. Yeah, I definitely agree when it comes to relationships. You know what it really is about is that you're not being your true self, because inside of every woman is a bee, and she needs to come out and be let out, you know? So it's really getting into who you truly are. And so when you are your true self, men love that. They want to be with who you really are. They're expecting for you to have your standards. They're expecting for you to speak your mind and say what you really want. They're almost expecting for you to boss them around a little bit. You know, they like that.
Let me back up for just a minute, being the only man in this room. And let me make sure I understand that you said be who you really are. So are you suggesting that being who you really are means being a bee, means being nasty, obtuse, rude? And I ask that because being who you really are doesn't, and asserting yourself doesn't necessarily mean that you have to be rude and obtuse or nasty. That's
well,
my opinion.
I don't mean being rude or obtuse or nasty.
So then what's the difference between being a bee and being rude and obtuse and nasty?
To me, those are interpretations of the way somebody is being. By me telling you no, by me telling you what I think, by me telling you my values, your perspective on those things could be that I'm being rude, just depending on me just saying, you know, I don't like this, or I feel this way, or you know what, I see things in a different light than you do. And to me, whenever you are showing that you have an X factor, that there's something special about you, that you have standards and you stick up for those standards, that you have values and you voice them, that you're bold or you're assertive or you're confident or strong as a woman, you get called the B word. So that's what I mean by being a B. It's being a powerful version of who you are.
So Dr. Wilson, so if a man goes home and he says to his wife or his girlfriend, honey, I want Thai food tonight. And she says, no, I want Mexican. Is that being a bee, or is that just saying what she wants?
Well, of course.
Because she's saying, you know, you can be assertive and you can speak yourself and do. But see, from my perspective, maybe I'm an old softy, but if you ask your mate, your partner, or you tell your mate or your partner or what have you, this is what I want tonight, and she says, no, I want this. Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, of course, context and
tone
and all of that matters. So,
let's talk about that.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you can assert yourself and say what you want.
Mm-hmm.
And is it the tone that determines whether or not somebody calls you the B word?
No, I don't think so.
Not always. Not always. Sometimes it might be.
Then what is it?
Again, I told you know, as I said earlier, the goalposts move. So there's not a clear taxonomy of behaviors that will get you called a bitch. But I think it's also important to your question about, you know, the partner says, I want Thai food, and the woman says, well, actually, I'd like Mexican. That's part of being two grown-ups who have different views about things. And now we can have a conversation. Should we have Thai tonight, or should we have Mexican tonight? And I think that, you know, part of it, to Kina's point, is, yeah, you have to be able to express an opinion. It shouldn't just be, you know, like that scene in Coming to America, whatever you like,
right,
whatever you like, right? Because that's not you being your authentic self. At the same time, I think it's important for men to step up and recognize what healthy partnership is. And healthy partnership is having a woman who has her own thoughts and opinions about things sometimes, and that you all can come together and have conversations when you need to have conversations.
And accept that she has her own thoughts and opinions.
Mm-hmm. Right. And it doesn't mean that you're not open to compromising, you know, or, you know, coming to some sort of mutual beneficial situation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you want Thai or Indian or whatever? Let's really discuss it. You know, let's not just have it be whatever you want, master, or something, you know.
Well,
I mean?
Right. But my point was, if he says, this is what I want, and she responds, that's not what I want. I never said it was whatever you like. She said, no, that's not what I want. I want this. And then, and I think that's the difference, which brings me back to the issue of tone, because it seems to me that you were suggesting that the inner bitch is in every woman, but you have to, in order to get what you want, you got to bring that person out. I disagree. I disagree. I think you can get what you want without being obtuse or being that so-called B. And maybe that's my own.
I don't see it as being obtuse. I'm not saying that you're supposed to be malicious to people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just about sticking up for what you believe in and being confident about yourself.
Mm. Okay. Let's talk to Tanya. Tanya calling from D.C. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I was calling because I was listening to you, which sounds very, very interesting. And I've always been called the nice girl. And I've always been told, why do you smile so much? But it always had me finishing last. So I just want to know, what's your advice?
My advice would be to really tap into, what are your standards? What are your likes? What are your dislikes? And, you know, at the end of the day, what are you really afraid of? You know, because I think it comes from a place of fear. Are you afraid of how people will react when you stick up for yourself? Or do you feel like you don't have the courage to stick up for yourself? What do you think your issues are?
Well, I always try to be the good, you know, Christian. So, and you know, to always try to represent and to show my light. So it's not like I'm not being myself, because I am, but at the same time, I try to watch what I say, when I say, how I say things.
Okay, I completely understand that. I am definitely somebody who has faith in God, but if you look to the Bible, it says that we have a spirit of power and not of fear. So I think it's about, you know, just really loving yourself a little more. I'm not saying that you don't love yourself. I'm just saying that when you have those feelings for yourself, you're putting yourself as a priority above others. And I think that's really important so that you can begin to have a little bit more success in your relationships, so that you can feel better about yourself.
Okay, Tanya, thank you so much. I appreciate your phone call. How do you feel about the B word used between women as slang?
I love it. Me and my girlfriends use it all the time, and it's a term of endearment between us. It's like a compliment, like, hey girl. It's like saying that, you know. It's like, oh, I'm on it today, you know. I'm living a great life.
You validate me, and I appreciate that. We had a really spirited conversation about that, where one of the professional women in our newsroom, she argued that refined professional women don't use the B word amongst friends. I said it happens a lot. So thank you for the validation. I win. your thoughts about that, Dr. Wilson?
I mean, I have mixed feelings about it. I understand why people are uncomfortable with that word, and I respect that. And I think I understand kind of linguistically what that means for some people to.
But would
take
you?
The sting
but do you do it.
It
with your friends? That's the question.
With my do I do it personally mm-hmm. with my friends?
Yes.
No.
Why not?
Usually, well, because I am the vulgar one out of my group of friends. So, I wouldn't get any uptake on that. In fact, I would offend.
So you're saying they would expect that from you anyway?
Yeah, it would offend them very deeply. And so, you know, out of respect for my friends and how they feel about that language. I typically don't. And it's not to say that I never do, but I typically, in my circle of friends, that's just not the way that we address one another.
So why, and so now we have two different points of view to educated, refined, professional women. One says no, one says yes. Why the yes, Kina?
I think that I used to be in a place where the word really had a power to suppress me. I was just like, you know, that's something I don't want to be. Oh my God, no. There's a book, Why Men Marry Bees. And I was like, oh my God, no, that's so awful. And I just was like, wait a minute. When I really analyzed when the word was being used towards me and how it was about, you know, all of these good aspects instead of anything bad that I was doing. I wasn't, you know, being mean to anybody, you know, so I realized that it's something to embrace. And once I embraced it, I felt free. I felt like there's no word that has a power over me. I took ownership and power over that word.
Is this like what we're seeing a lot in popular culture and in everyday life, where you may have, you know, black guys talking about my N when you talk about the N word? And then, but they say that their white friends, even though they may be cool and woke and, but the white, but you can't say that if you're a white person. Is this the same kind of thing where you may use it with your girlfriends, but you can't have a guy who's been your buddy for years, who you love and care for, but he can't use the word with you?
I personally don't care who uses the word with me. I definitely don't necessarily think that it's the same thing as the N-word, because the N-word sort of has a whole different connotation to it, in that, you know, it's not about, oh, you know, look, when he's being brilliant, you're like, you're the N. No, it's usually supposed to mean that you're an ignorant person and all of these slavery roots and all of this other stuff.
But not to cut you off, but what I'm talking about is, you hear guys talk about, you know, if you did something great, then he's like, yeah, my N. You know, that's my N.
Oh, okay.
That's what I mean.
Oh,
that's what
you I'm mean talking. In that context, exactly.
Context. Yeah.
Yeah, I can see how that's similar, yeah.
Your thoughts, Dr. Wilson, before we go to a break?
Yeah, so one thing I'll say, and we were talking about this a little bit in the green room before we came on the show, is that, you know, people really get hung up on that word, on the word bitch, and, you know, understandably so. However, folks have other ways of calling you a bitch without using that word, right? And this is going back to the tone question. Female has that ring sometimes.
That's another show too.
There are all sorts of words that people can, you know, I had a student, I shouldn't talk about my students, who wanted something from me that he didn't get. And, you know, he left my office and he's packing up. Have a good day, miss. And it was clear to me that, you know, if he'd had a different set of stones on him, he might have tried it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So there are other ways that people use language in attempts to diminish women. And so to take the sting out of that particular word is an interesting response to that, right? I mean, folks find new ways and new words to use, mm-hmm, to try to diminish who we are as women.
Is he going to graduate? Don't answer that. We're going to take a break. We'll be back in just a moment. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. More of your phone calls and more of this conversation. We'll be back in just a moment. Hold on. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We continue our discussion about women asserting themselves, standing up for themselves, and the B word. Of course, I'm here with Kina Doerr, author and Howard University Assistant Professor of Philosophy, Dr. Yolanda Wilson, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Lisa, calling from Virginia. Thanks for calling, Lisa. What's on your mind? Lisa, are you there?
Yes, I am. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. You go right ahead.
Good, good. I was calling in because we've had conversations at the office in reference to the B word. I personally don't find anything endearing about it. I don't think me as a 50-some-year-old plus woman would ever embrace that word, no more than I would embrace the N word, because I think embracing that, we see where that's gotten us with children today, and the fact that people want to make that word like it's supposed to be like universal and it's supposed to be acceptable and folks shouldn't be offended by it. I would be offended by the B word. I understand why it's used when women stand their ground to get things done and get things accomplished. If it was a guy doing it, they will label it something else. I'm just one of those, I believe that as long as you're doing your job, you're doing the right thing, you're doing the things that you are supposed to do, at the end of the day, you can call me whatever you want to call me. I'm not going to stand there and allow it and think that it's acceptable and not correct someone that would use that term, whether they're referring to someone else, because usually most people don't say it to your face. It's usually something behind your back.
Interesting. Lisa, thank you so much. Is this, in your opinion, Dr. Wilson, a generational issue? Lisa just said a 50-something woman. We don't know. And I'm not going to ask Kina how old you are, but you are obviously you're younger than I am, and you're probably younger than Dr. Wilson. Is this a generational issue?
I mean, I don't know if it's generational. I mean, people have different sensibilities for all kinds of reasons. I mean, if you look at, unfortunately, reality TV, which people have mixed feelings about how that represents black women, but NeNe and that crew, those are all women well in their 50s who, you know, I think they're too old to be doing a whole bunch of stuff. But they use that word all the time as a form of endearment. And you see, I do encounter other women who are my age and older who use that language. I do think that maybe in younger women you see it more. Maybe women under 40 or 45, right? So maybe you do see it a little bit more, but so I don't know. Maybe even the reality thing, those are women who are trying to act out their 20s or something.
And maybe that is a segment because it is entertainment.
So maybe they're not a good example.
Well, what do you think, Kina? I mean, for your contemporaries, for the women in your circle, as opposed to perhaps women that are 10 years or 20 years older than yourself when they look at this issue? Or do you think it matters?
Well, I think that there's a higher possibility that women who are older definitely are not about that word. But that's because it's like they're the original OGs. They don't let that word stop them from still actually kind of living under that definition. You know what I mean? But for me, it stopped me from being underneath that definition, meaning I started acting disempowered instead. I let people control me. I let people do things that were bad to me because I was scared of that word. So it wasn't until I was like, oh, I embrace the word now, that I could now be my bold, assertive, confident self because I wasn't scared of, oh, you're that B.
Interesting. Chico, calling from Silver Spring. Hey, Chico, what's on your mind?
This bitch thing, my daughter is not a bitch. She came into the world, December 1st of last year, and she's starting to say, certain words, and, I'm a little bit worried about the words she's going to say. I want to know how can she stand up for herself and say that I'm not a bitch. I'm a strong girl. I'm a wise girl. I'm a bold girl, and stuff like that.
Good question, Chico. Your thoughts about that, Kina?
I think it's about not letting what somebody else says make her feel like she should be diminished as a person. And you know, it takes a lot of strength to say, you know what, I don't need to even fight you on it. You know, I'm just going to be me. I'm going to be strong. I'm going to do these things. I don't need your acceptance of me in order to be this person.
Chico, thank you so much for your question. When I look at high profile women in modern culture, Oprah Winfrey, black women, Oprah Winfrey, Michelle Obama, and we can go on and on. Would you, these two examples, for example, they are assertive, they are strong, they have done incredible things to get to where they are. And I'm only talking about their public persona because that's all we know, unless you're friends with the former First Lady or Oprah. And who knows, we may see this book on Oprah's book club.
That would be awesome.
Right, there, I'm sure it would be. But would you label them in being assertive with the B word, or are they on another level?
I think that being the B word is being on another level. It's exuding power, and you know, people are in powerful positions. So I was actually looking at a few different things. You talked about Oprah and Michelle, but I also looked at Beyonce, and she actually talked about how Jay-Z prepped her for being that B because she was scared of the word herself. And she said that he told her, you know, saying what you think and all of that is not a bad thing. Do that. Be that, you know? And even I was reading something recently about Rihanna, and she was talking about how, you know, one of the women who was on that Beverly Hills show is the baddest bee, you know what I'm saying? And she's like uplifting her, saying that she's amazing. It's saying that you're it. You are everything. You're beyond. Mm-hmm. It's a compliment.
And yeah. I thought Queen B stood for Beyonce. Now I know the secret. I learn something new every day. What, Dr. Wilson, do you think men should take away from a conversation like this? Dr. Wilson.
Really?
Absolutely.
That's the question you're asking me.
I love your big brain. I love it. I love it. I love it. Go right ahead.
Well, I think, you know, not just this conversation, but any conversation, I think men should take away, you know, that they should think more and speak less sometimes. And that they should check their own sensibilities about, you know, seriously, that they should check their own sensibilities about what their expectations are of women. So do I expect a woman to be quiet or docile or just agree with me? If that's your expectation, then you need to kind of check yourself on that, right? So such that when women don't fit in that mold, I have to say something pejorative about them. I mean, Kina has taken one route, which is to just embrace the term and not worry about it. But that doesn't take away from the reality that when a lot of people use that word, they are being pejorative. They're attempting to be hurtful. The fact that she has decided, I'm not going to let that word hurt me, doesn't take away the intention behind the word. And so I would think that from this conversation, men need to think about, you know, what are my expectations of women that would lead me to call a woman who does something that I personally don't like a bitch?
Mm-hmm. I think I've always said, whether you're talking about your, you know, your partner or your spouse, from a man's perspective, I think it's always smart of him, even if you know what you know and you know that you know it as a man, ask her anyway, because chances are you'll miss something. And if she says that you haven't missed something, then the worst thing that could happen is that you can be wrong together. but I think that men should consider, and not obviously in the home, but also in the workplace, because men don't know everything, no matter how assertive and how smart they may be. There's always something that they may miss, that bouncing it off of the, you know, the other woman in the office, in your project, in your corporation where, or on the job, wherever it is, you need to have that input. I've got about a minute. I'll let you have the final thoughts, Keena.
Well, I just want to say that I hope that women can start leading a more successful, uplifted, and empowered life, and to purchase my book on Amazon.com. Keena Dore, KINADORE. Be and, that bitch, nice girls finish last.
And do you have a website?
No, I don't have a website, but I am Keena Dore 96 and also Keena Dore on all of the social media, Facebook and Twitter and Instagram
and all of the other good stuff. It is 2018. Keena Dore, thank you so much for coming in and sharing your book with us. And Dr. Yolanda Wilson, always, always a pleasure to have you here. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me back.
Absolutely. That is the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Friday, May 4th. For News Director Renee Nash, reporters Taylor Thomas, Troy Johnson, Millette Green, Bramante Bryant, producer Candace Atkins, engineers Iron Walder, and Bobby Adams. I'm Harold Fisher. You can tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Now stay tuned for The Connection with Lorna Newton. Good night and have a wonderful weekend. The Howard